Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Once upon a time, a girl was visiting the Tower of London. She entered through the main entrance and then got lost in the maze of buildings and alleyways. By the 16th century, the time we cover in the Renaissance English History Podcast, the tower would have been a large complex with houses, barracks, a chapel, as well as the torture chambers and execution block. It was its own village. It served as the Royal Mint, the home of the crown jewels, a treasury, a public records office, an armory. And yes, people were executed here. Actually, not that many, to be fair. Most people who were executed suffered their fate on the Tower Hill, out in the public where they could be seen by folks out for a fun family day of beheadings and burnings. The executions inside the tower were reserved for nobility, for those who needed extra privacy, royalty. These nobles and royals were not used to not getting their own way, and being executed was the ultimate not-getting-your-own-way event. These folks were not simply resigned to their fate. They were upset, and they've stuck around to let us know. So let's go back to our girl in the tower. She's wandering around and she gets lost. It's a cold, blustery day, cloudy, and it seems as if the sun never rose before it's dark again. She hears the famous crows squawking, and she starts to feel a little nervous, as if she's being watched. It starts to rain, and she notices that she is all alone, just under the bloody tower. She sees a well-lit doorway, a bathroom. She walks in and stands at the sink, holding on to the side as her hands shake. Then she looks in the mirror. In the reflection, she sees two boys. There are two boys in here with her, wearing nightgowns. For a moment, she freezes, wondering whether she went into the men's room. But they don't seem surprised or alarmed to see her, nor do they look cold in their light clothing. They just look at her, seemingly frightened. Hello? Don't hurt us, please don't hurt us. Did our uncle send you? The princess in the tower? Please, please don't hurt us. We were told someone was going to try to rescue us, that there would be an attempt to help us before it's too late. Is it you? Can you help us? The girl reaches out instinctively to the younger boy. She doesn't know who these boys are for sure, but she's going to try to help them if she can. They're so frail, thin, and they look petrified as she reaches out for them. They clasp onto her, and she opens the door to go back outside. She's running down a narrow alleyway towards the chapel, and they are following right with her, almost flying alongside of her. If only she could find a guard, someone to turn these boys over to, and get out of here herself. But the place is deserted in the dark twilight. She hears the boys panting, and then suddenly she slips on the wet stones, and they all fall. She feels their small bodies falling and landing on top of her, and then they're gone. Simply gone. But she can't even sit up to look for them. There's a huge weight pressing her down. She's being smothered. It feels like a giant suit of armor pressing into her, pressing her into the ground, and there's no way she can get up. Damn this sore leg, she hears. Will, fool,
Amuse me while these idiots try to get this armor on me. You would think a king could get a suit of armor that would fit him. And with that, she's pressed even further. Her head feels like it's about to explode, and she's just sinking into the mud. Just when she can take no more, when she's on her last breath, the weight is gone, and she's free to sit up. She runs as quickly as she can towards the front gate, but she's met by a teenage boy running up to her in tears. It's a different boy than she saw before. This one is dressed like a noble. He runs up to her and grabs her hands, looking searchingly in her eyes. They're about to execute me for my father's rebellion and for marrying Jane Grey. Please, please help me. I don't want to lose my head. I didn't know. Please help me. She tries to hold on to him, but just then he is pulled away from her and she hears him screaming in the distance. Then another young teenage girl is walking towards her, her hands folded together in prayer. The teenage girl walks quietly, looking resigned. Father and mother made their choice. They did this to their daughter, but I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. She is muttering, repeating the words over and over again. Then, just as suddenly, she disappears, and there's a loud scream in the distance, followed by a man yelling, "Such is the end to all traitors to the crown. Long live Queen Mary." The girl runs toward the exit. She needs to get out of here. She can see the main gate and the grass beyond. It's so dark and rainy and wet, and a chill runs through her entire body. She doesn't want to run and slip again, but it's so hard to keep herself just moving calmly and steadily. She passes under an archway, and on the other side she's met by a headless woman coming straight at her, leading a procession of what appear like ladies-in-waiting. All of those women have their heads, but the woman in front, dressed as a queen, she moves silently in the girl's direction, with the parade of ladies following behind. The girl is unable to move, frozen to the spot. Her fight-or-flight instincts have totally fallen apart, and all she can do is just stay frozen and hope the headless woman can't see her. She doesn't have eyes, after all. But no, the figure turns straight towards her. The ladies all headed in her direction. The girl is shaking now, still unable to move, as the woman walks right up to her and grabs both of her hands. "At least I had a little neck," the body says to her. "It happened quickly enough." The girl screams and runs, while the headless body just doubles over in laughter. She runs until she can go no further, because she runs right into a wooden door, and she looks up. The huge wooden door is locked from the outside. It appears as if she was somehow missed when they locked up the tower for the evening, which means she's going to need to spend all night here, with the headless woman already heading back in her direction. Her only hope is to find an office of some sort where people can help her. But how can she get past that headless queen again? She sinks down into the wet pavement, and she starts crying, sobbing, wondering how she's going to get through the night. Eventually, after what seems like hours, she feels a push on her shoulder. "Ma'am, it's time to close. You need to get out before we lock up. You wouldn't want to spend a night here, I'll tell you." Our heroine walks out of the tower, wondering whether she dreamt the whole thing, but remembering that solid little hand of the prince holding on to her. To learn more about the people mentioned here, Anne Boleyn, Henry VIII, Guilford Dudley, Jane Grey, and the princes in the tower, listen to the Renaissance English History Podcast, where these true stories are scarier than any ghost stories I could make up. Englandcast.com has links to subscribe and a full archive. Happy Halloween!
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.